Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, sponsored by the Shreveport Grace Church here in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May our Lord God be pleased to bless His Word to your heart as you listen today. My subject today is, for some, a very controversial one, and yet I believe is founded clearly in the Word of God, and so it needs to be stated. Now, we live in a day when capital punishment, putting to death of criminals, is being questioned. I want to read to you from the Word of God here in Leviticus chapter 24, where we read, "And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye." Now, this is not in the sense of revenge, but this is in the sense of justice. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. "As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. You shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger, the foreigner, as for one of your own country. For I am the Lord your God." Now, what does this teach us about God? Well, it teaches us, first of all, that He's just. The law was given to reveal unto us the very character of God Himself. God's a holy God. God's a just God. And if you wonder why capital punishment done according to the law is a just punishment for crime, here's the reason. Because in it is a manifestation of the very justice of God. That's what the Word says here. "And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death." People's issue with capital punishment is an issue with God Himself. I know some people say, well, it doesn't deter crime. Well, the one that has been put to death is certainly not going to commit any more crime. And someone has said, we don't aim to correct the man we hang. We correct and warn others by him. So let this example, let this law that has been established by God be a warning that God is a just God, and he will not let sin go unpunished. Now, the object of capital punishment, I believe, is threefold. First, for just retribution, as the Scripture says here, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, not in the sense of revenge, but retribution. God has put this power in the hands of judges to execute this judgment, and they're commanded to do so. It's also for the good of society, because in the exercise of this judgment, it is a small picture of that judgment that awaits all who do not have a just ransom, a just retribution for their sin. The Scriptures clearly teach that it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so we see in what God has ordained for judges a small picture of who He is as Almighty Judge. And he will not acquit the guilty. And thirdly, I believe that the object of capital punishment is the honor of God's Word. Now, my purpose in beginning with this matter of capital punishment is this, that God Himself, in the salvation of sinners, honors His own law. If God is going to save a sinner, he's got to do it in a just way. He cannot overlook the sin of those that he saves. Just like in the law, in Leviticus 24, he said there'll be one law, one manner of law, both for the stranger and for the people of the country of Israel. One law. And so it is with God. If God is going to save sinners, it has to be in a just way. And the scriptures say, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, that's not just talking about physical death, but certainly physical death is included. Why do sinners die? Why do people, no matter how long they live in this world, the sentence of death is passed upon them? Well, it's because they're sinners. But there's physical death, and then there's eternal death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so in order for God to spare a sinner from eternal death, eternal condemnation, as a just God, that means that somebody has to die in that sinner's place. And that's the message we find over here in 1 Peter chapter 1, where I want us to spend the rest of this time together. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now, what are these verses saying, particularly concerning the way that God saves sinners? Well, verse 18, he's saying, you know that God did not redeem you from the useless way of life filled with tradition, ceremonialism, ritualism, and vain and useless things received from your forefathers with silver and gold. You see, the temple was built with silver and gold, and many of the Judaizers looked to that temple, just like many look to religious relics today as a way of salvation. They look to the ceremonies and assume that if they just fulfilled certain duties that God would be merciful. But dear friend, the redemption of the soul requires a just payment for sin. Silver and gold cannot be given in exchange for a soul. Why? Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And therefore, you see in this matter of capital punishment how it sets forth the justice of God. God himself, in order to save a people, to redeem a people, had to exercise capital punishment upon those that he purposed to save. Well, you say, well, that's contradictory, because if he pours out his punishment on them, then there's no mercy, no grace. But here's where we see the wisdom of God. We see the mercy and grace of God in that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to fulfill the law and to lay down his life. No man took it from him, but to lay down his life that God the Father might be just in justifying all who trust in his Son. And this is what the apostle is saying here, that God did not redeem his people through vain tradition and ceremonialism or ritualism or works that they have done. The price of redemption is higher than this. Peter here is not talking about the corruption of human nature, from which we have certainly been redeemed if we're in Christ, but he's talking about the corruption of religion in his day of Judaism, with all its vain religious show of outward self-righteousness. And that's what he speaks of here when he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers." A lot of people following tradition, man-made tradition in religion today. And it gives them a hope, but it's a false hope because it's not founded upon justice. It's not founded upon the Word. It's not founded upon Christ. And here's where Peter makes the distinction. He says in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now when it's talking about the blood of Christ there, it's not just talking about blood spilt. When he was circumcised as a child, blood was spilt. But that blood was not the salvation of his people. When he was in the garden, the scriptures say he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. But had he stopped there and not gone to the cross to die, there would be no salvation. When they put that crown of thorns upon his head, and blood came forth. When they whipped his back and broke his flesh open, blood came forth. But blood in and of itself was not salvation. Why? Because the law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And therefore, in order for Christ to be the just Savior, the just substitute of his people, he had to die. That's what it's speaking of here. When it says in 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how sinners are saved. They're bought, they're redeemed by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like those sacrificial lambs in the Old Testament. Their throats were slit and the blood shed as a type of the death of Christ. And so this is the message that I want us to consider today, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which God is pleased to save sinners in a just way, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that God will give us ears to hear and hearts to understand, receive it, because in the death of Christ, we see the wisdom of God. In the death of Christ, we see the justice of God. In the death of Christ, we see the mercy of God for sinners that he has purposed to save. In a few moments, I want to consider with you why the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. Precious in the eyes of God and precious in the eyes of those that God is pleased to give eyes to see. Sinners saved by his grace, why the death of Christ is so precious. Please stay tuned. Come back with me now to my text here in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 18 through 20. And let me, in the remainder of this message, give you the reasons why the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is so precious. No one is saved by religion. No one is saved by their own works. No more than somebody who has committed a crime punishable by death can be saved simply by reforming his life from that point on. No, the scriptures say here it's with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that sinners are saved. Now we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, as he set forth here in Scripture, we believe that we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. To me, the Savior's blood is truly precious. I know it's become a common thing today, because as you look at what goes on in religion, the death of Christ is not being exalted. Christ is not being set forth as the very wisdom of God in his death. Sinners are ignorant of who died and why he died and what he accomplished by his death. People today in religion are caught up with signs and wonders and experience. But I'll tell you, dear friend, that any sort of hope that's not founded upon a just God and a Savior, God in a just way putting away the sin of the sinner, it's a false hope. Now, this message needs to be set forth clearly in our day. And I wish I had the whole world hearing me right now. But I'm thankful you're listening. And I pray that God will give you an understanding of the importance of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I say the blood of Christ, again, we do not revere the blood of Christ in a sense of making an idol of it. I know there are those today that are all caught up with the Shroud of Turin, and all caught up with those bloodstains on that shroud, whether it's the Lord's blood or not. There are places all over this world that gather relics, pieces of wood, and they say that these are pieces of the cross, and they try to point out that the bloodstains on these pieces of wood are the literal blood of Christ. But dear friend, even if that were so, that blood cannot save you. There's no salvation in that blood. No, when the scriptures say that without the shedding of blood is no remission, and that is true in Hebrews 9:22, that's the word that's set forth. It's talking here about a just death through which God is satisfied, a holy God is satisfied on behalf of the sinner, and through it is forgiveness of sins. Why does the Scripture place such importance upon the blood of Christ, the death of Christ, and hold it to be a precious thing? Well, here are the reasons. First of all, it's precious because it's the blood of the incarnate God. The word incarnate means to take on flesh. It's not just that Christ died, but it's who died. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, we read this, where the Apostle Paul warned the Ephesian elders and said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood." Now we know that God himself, being a spirit, cannot bleed. But here we see the wisdom of God in the incarnation of his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Why did he take on human flesh? The book of Hebrews says, "A body thou hast prepared for me." God the Father prepared this body for his Son for one purpose: that capital punishment be exercised. Not that the sinner die, but that the substitute die in the the sinner's stead. You see, that's the wonder and the mystery of the gospel. Someone had to die. And the blood poured out for the redemption of God's people that He's purposed to save was the blood of a man. But that man was none other than eternal God Himself. It had to be that way. He had to be a man in order to represent faithfully those that He came to save. That's why the blood of bulls and goats, the Scripture says, could not take away sin. You can't substitute an animal for a man. Those were but types and pictures of Christ, the Lamb of God, who laid down His life for the sin of His people. It took a man dying, but at the same time, He had to be God. Only God can satisfy God. And so you see why the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious, because it's whose blood it is. That's the first point. Secondly, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. His death is precious to God, and it's precious to believers, those who by God's grace know Him and believe on Him. It's precious because of what it accomplished. Now, what did the death of the Lord Jesus Christ accomplish? Did it accomplish anything? To hear preachers today speaking on the death of Christ, you'd never know that the death of Christ accomplished anything. Other than that, it's a historical fact. And so the preacher says, well, Christ laid down His life. Now, what are you going to do about it? As if Christ were in man's hands. No, dear friend, the Lamb is in God's hands. In the Old Testament, those priests presented that sacrifice unto God, not unto man. The priest wasn't standing there holding the sacrifice before the people and saying, now what are you going to do with it? He was offering that sacrifice unto God. Christ, being the high priest, laid down His own life to represent His people. He represented His people before God. That offering was made unto the Lord. Now, is God satisfied with it or isn't He? Well, if He is, that means that those that Christ died for are saved. They're justified because the law has been satisfied. There's a scripture passage, if you've never really given it much consideration, I hope that after this message you'll give it careful consideration. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. That's talking about believers of the Old Testament whose sins were remitted on the basis of the death that Christ would die through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, verse 26, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So you see, believers have been justified by the blood of Christ, by His death, reconciled to God by that very same death. This is what the death of Christ produces, and this is why it's precious in God's sight, and it's precious to the believer. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. For a preacher to say that Christ laid down His life in order to save everybody, if that were so, then there would be no more basis for judgment, no more basis for God to punish any sinner, because Christ has satisfied God's justice. And by His death, sinners are justified. By His death, sinners are reconciled. No, dear friend, don't believe a lie for a minute. Don't make the death of Christ common as if somehow He died for everybody and now it's up to you. No. But I'll tell you this, based upon the authority of the Word of God, if Christ died for you, you shall stand justified before God. If Christ died for you, God by His grace will cause you in his time to hear this message and to believe on his Son and thereby be reconciled to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ has satisfied the wrath and justice of God's holy law, so that through the blood of his Son, God is both just and the justifier of every believer. Do you see why the believer doesn't look to his own works? Do you see why a believer will not sit and listen to a man preach works for salvation or works for sanctification, works for reward? What greater work could there be than the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? As it says here in 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, who verily was foreordained. Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world to be the Savior of his people, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God. How's a sinner to believe in God? Well, God's got to give him ears to hear. As clearly as I set this truth forth, I recognize that it's got to be God opening your ears to hear, not my voice, but the voice of his Son through the gospel, and to see God's wisdom in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every blessing of God's grace in the matter of salvation, sanctification, eternal hope of glory, it all comes through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the scriptures. Redemption, pardon, peace, forgiveness, sanctification, and glorification. It's all through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read for you here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's through his blood. You see why it's so precious? It's precious because of whose blood it is. It's precious because of what he accomplished by his death. The sinner's conscience is purged from guilt when God is pleased to reveal in that sinner the Lord Jesus Christ and cause that sinner to see all of his sin taken away through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The conscience purged. Is that of any interest to you? Most people, when they get a guilty conscience, they run to the preacher. They run to the pastor. They run to a ceremony. Get to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through him and through his death that the sinner has access to God. And I believe that all that Christ has died for are his. And they'll stand someday before the throne of God, purified by the precious blood of Christ. And together, if you're one of the Lord's, we'll glorify Christ in heaven, singing his everlasting praise for the precious redeeming blood. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's the message of glory. Dear friend, nothing's more practical, nothing more important, and certainly nothing more delightful to the people of God than the blood, the precious, effectual, cleansing, redeeming blood of Christ. Trust in him. As this broadcast draws to a close, let me leave you with these few thoughts. When people ask me about our church, I ask them, what are you looking for? We believe that the true church consists of sinners chosen out of the world by God's electing grace, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and called irresistibly by the Holy Spirit through the faithful preaching of the gospel. The members are those who by God-given faith have confessed the one true Christ in water immersion, who faithfully attend and give as God has prospered them, and walk in that grace to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our times of worship encourage families to come together in one place to praise the one sovereign triune God through hymns, spiritual songs, prayer, and the preaching and teaching of the written word of our sovereign Lord. If you'd like more information about our regular worship services or like a copy of this message, please call. I look forward to hearing from you, and please plan to join us next week at the same time for another broadcast.